Jump back with me to James chapter 3. You know, there's that good old saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We all know that old rhyme, but we also know how untrue it actually is. Words can hurt badly. A sharp tongue can scar a soul for many, many years. And James, the brother of our Lord, understood the immense power packed in our small tongue. And here in James chapter 3, he gives the most sustained teaching in the New Testament on taming our tongue and taming our speech. Last week, James opened up chapter 3, warning that not many should presume to be teachers, because teachers use words, and lots of them, and they will face a stricter judgment. That's in verse 1 of chapter 3. Verse 2, it talks about stumbling in many ways, and James admits, if any does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. In other words, we all say things we shouldn't, and only a spiritual, mature person can consistently control his tongue. James, from 3 verse to verse 5, he shows how something small can have an enormous influence. A tiny bit can direct a 1,000-pound horse. A little rudder can steer a huge ship. A small spark can set an entire forest ablaze. James is not writing in theory. He's addressing real problems among the Jewish believers, the Jewish Christians, the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. They're still meeting in synagogues, and they knew the Mosaic law very well. They had been under the law, which strongly condemned the sins of speech. Jesus had even warned Israel that even calling someone "you fool" could make one liable to hellfire under God's law. What a sobering standard. We do know that in the dispensation of the grace of God, that words can definitely hurt, but has nothing to do with condemnation or hellfire for each and every one of us. But we still need to pay attention to that. Sinful speech is a very big deal. So before we jump into verse 6, imagine for a moment a massive wildfire consuming a forest. If you trace it back, it's normally a small spark, a very small campfire, a spark from a power line. And likewise, one small word can ignite a blaze of destruction. Let's read verse 5 and 6, and we'll begin this morning. But even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. This very first verse has many phrases here. And he begins with, the tongue is a fire. The tongue has great destructive potential. A controlled fire can do many things. It can warm, it can cook, it can purify. But an out-of-control fire wrecks devastation. Same thing with us. Wise words can bring life, but wicked words can burn lives down. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a worthless man's speech is like a scorching fire. What are you doing with your words? One sarcastic comment, one malicious rumor, one false accusation, it's going to spread like wildfire. The tongue, in a sense, is a fire which unleashes a world of injustice. It only takes a spark to start a blaze, to conflict, to cause rage, to cause things to be out of control. He begins there. The tongue is a fire. The second part he uses is a world of iniquity. Another version says a world of unrighteousness. Our tongue can unleash all kinds of sin. Lying, slander, gossip, blasphemy, cursing, boasting, crude joking, false teaching. It can go on and on and on. And James calls the tongue a world of iniquity or a world of unrighteousness. It is as though all the wickedness in the whole world were wrapped into that little piece of flesh. The tiny tongue can be a focal point of our fallenness. He continues on in verse 6 there, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body or stains the whole body. Just as a drop of poison in a cup of water taints the whole cup, a wicked tongue defiles the whole person. It's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man. Our own words can drag our entire life into sin's mud. An uncontrolled tongue will contaminate your character and reputation. James, earlier on in the book here, he warned that if someone thinks himself religious but does not bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. All the outward piety is nullified by a wrong tongue, by a dirty mouth, by a cruel joke, there's so many things that can stain the world of Christianity and the reputation of who you are. The next phrase he says, and setteth on fire the course of nature. The Greek literally means igniting the wheel of existence. The idea is that the tongue can set your entire life and others ablaze. A wheel rolling downhill, picking up speed. One ill-spoken word can set in a motion, a chain reaction of damage. How many times have we said one simple, single, foolish comment, sparked an argument, it spirals into broken relationships? I stay very far, and I use social media for my work, and I allow them to control it, but I never comment anything on Facebook, because it's very simple to turn into arguments and turn into cruel words and turn into careless social media posts, and things can go viral very fast. It can ruin your career. It can ruin relationships. It can ruin things for one small few words. A tongue unchecked can burn down marriages, burn down families, burn down churches, burn down communities, because that's where the ablaze started. That's where the ablaze came from. One moment of rage or one lie can set a life's direction on a very fiery course. He finishes there in verse 6, and it says, it is set on fire of hell. James here uses the word Gehenna, which is for hell, evoking the burning garbage dump outside Jerusalem. It's a fitting image for the source of this destructive blaze. An uncontrolled tongue gets its fire from the very flames of hell. Satan himself loves to spark our tongues into evil because he knows how much damage a tongue can do. Whenever we use our tongues to lie, insult, or curse, or speak cruelty, we are doing the devil's work. It's coming from him. Jesus used that same Gehenna in Matthew 5:22. Jesus warned that hateful words make one guilty enough for the fire of Gehenna. And we always talk about it under the law. Fiery tongue led to judgment. And I'm so thankful that we live under the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God, that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, our words can affect us and have consequences, but it will not send us to hell if we have put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A believer's tongue can still set things ablaze: gossip, hatred, blasphemy. We need to control. In Psalms 141:3, it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And that is a prayer that we need to pray each and every morning. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Here in James 3:6, he gives a grim diagnosis. The tongue, left to itself, is like a torch in the hands of a devil. It can defile, it can destroy, it can devour. A careless word today can cause years of damage tomorrow. Even if we get that forest fire put out, you see the damage and the devastation and all the char that's left behind. If you begin gossip, if you begin lies, if you begin cursing, there's things that you can never, ever get back. There's a classic illustration of gossip's irretrievable damage. It's the story of a man who spread slanderous rumors against his pastor. He was overcome by guilt. He begged the pastor for forgiveness, and he asked how he could make amends. The pastor took a pillow, cut it open, shook it out the window, letting the feathers scatter into the wind. And the pastor told the man, he said, now go pick up all the feathers. And the man said, it's impossible. And he said, exactly. The minute the words leave your mouth, you can never get them back. The tongue is a fire, and once that forest is ablaze, it's too late to recall that spark. Guard your tongue, protect your tongue. He continues on in verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, and James here is inviting us to think of all the animals humans have brought under control. Elephants, lions, dolphins, falcons, whatever it is you want to think of, people have amazingly trained and domesticated all sorts of creatures. Even in Genesis 1:28, it says mankind was given dominion over the animals. So in some measure, we see that dominion when a person can tame a wild stallion or have a pet parrot that can recite words. We've even taught killer whales and dolphins to do tricks. But there is one wild creature humanity has never been able to fully tame, and it's the tongue. It says it here. No one can tame the tongue. On our own, we simply do not have the power to subdue it. We do not have the control. You might be able to manage to hold your tongue in cheek for a time, but it always comes out. James calls it a restless evil. The word restless implies it's unstable, liable to break free at any moment. There's so many times that we've tried so hard to bite our tongue. I'm going to bite my tongue this time. I'm going to control it. And then 5 minutes later, it's out. I've got to say this, but I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to. James says the tongue is full of deadly poison. He puts it into the image of a venomous snake. A snake's bite can kill, and likewise the tongue can deliver lethal venom. Slander, lies, hateful words, they drip poison into relationships and communities. Gossip is poison. It may seem small, but it slowly kills trust and unity. False doctrine is spiritual poison, misleading souls. Cruel, bitter remarks can inject depression or despair into someone's heart. We have to control the tongue. Don't think you can tame your tongue on your own. It's impossible. He says it. We need help from our blood above. In our flesh, we cannot ever control our tongue. James calls the tongue a restless evil. If we picture it as an untamed animal, we might think of a rabid dog or a caged predator pacing back and forth. And it reminds us that our tongue can turn on us at any moment. There's many times that we've been in tense situations. We've been at times that whether we're at the airport, whether we're in front of another colleague, whether it is that moment comes and you're just as surprised at yourself that you even said it, but you blurt out something stupid or you just say it before even thinking. We have to tame the tongue. If the tongue is humanly untamable and full of poison, are we hopeless? And the answer is no, because God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to help us. But I think James wants you to understand the gravity of the problem. He wants to understand that it's impossible on your own. So many times we can just say, oh, I was just joking. You know, we'll offend somebody. Oh, I was just kidding. Even a little sarcasm has a little truth to it. Or sarcasm has a little truth in it as well. James continues on in verse 9 and 10. And to me, it's very powerful. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which we are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James is shocked. He's astonished that the same tongue could do such opposite things. On the one hand, we're blessing God. We use our tongue for its highest purpose. We come to church. We sing worship songs. We've prayed. We've spoken kind words. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalms 51:15 says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. So we begin with blessing. But then out of our next words, we're cursing people. We have blessings, we have cursings. To curse doesn't only mean to use profanity. It means to spark evil against, to insult, to belittle, wish harm upon someone. It's the exact opposite of blessing. While blessing is expressing hope or prayer for someone's well-being, cursing is expressing desire for someone's harm or expressing contempt. You've heard it time and time that they say go to hell or whatever they say. Again, I hate you, calling them names. James highlights the absurdity. We go from such blessing to such cursing from Sunday to Monday. Or even maybe Sunday by the time we get to lunch. Whatever it is, we go from blessing to cursing. And he talks to them as brothers and sisters to appeal to that fellow believer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know better. We can't live this double life. We can't live this double life with our speech. Our mouths shouldn't be like a two-faced fountain. And we'll see that again in the verse 11 and 12. James reminds us of the dignity of people we're tempted to curse. And most importantly, they're made in the likeness and the image of Christ. No matter how much we disagree with them, no matter how much we don't like them, no matter how much we can't stand them, they are still made in the image of Christ. They are treasured by Jesus Christ. You know, it's almost like saying, I love NASCAR, but I hate race cars. Well, that doesn't go together. I love God, but I don't love the kids that he made. Again, this makes no sense. We've got to control that. Again, this morning, is there a disconnect between your Sunday speech and your Monday speech? When you're blessing God in prayer, worship, spiritual conversation, and how are you speaking when you're frustrated, tired, or when you're with certain friends? In church, we can be kind, but we get home, we're harsh and we're critical. How does it go? Look at verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If you find yourself convicted, especially as I do, about times that we've all ran across people we don't like. And maybe we just did it in our hearts and our minds, but we've cursed men that are made in God's likeness. We need to confess that. Jesus died for all that. Jesus died for those sins too. And we're thankful that he did. Verse 11 and 12. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's a pretty simple analogy. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same place? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? And it's a simple rhetorical question that it's the answer is absolutely not. In a natural world, consistency is the rule. A spring, a freshwater fountain, doesn't ever gush out anything else. It can't be fresh one minute and bitter the next. But that's what comes from our heart. We're sweet one minute. We're like those summer sour gummy patches. They're sweet and then sour. That's the way we treat everybody. Jesus taught this in the book of Matthew. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. That's impossible. Where is your heart? Where is it at? When we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are a new creation in Christ. We have a new nature. We are always going to be fighting that old sin nature. We're always going to be fighting that old flesh. But it's very unnatural for a Christian to spew hate because we have the Holy Spirit within us. You can't truly fix the tongue without fixing the heart. We have to know what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. We have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allow him to live in and through us, to allow our words to change, to allow our heart to change. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time place sweet water and bitter? What is your heart? Is your heart bitter or is your heart sweet? Fig trees should bear figs. Christians' tongues should speak Christ-like words every day of our life. Only God can tame the untamable tongue. And again, I'm so thankful that we live in the age of grace, that the gospel that provides both forgiveness for our past words even forgives our new words. But that doesn't mean we just sit in them and we don't care about them and we say, oh, it's no big deal. Jesus did pay for every careless word we've ever spoken, every lie, every curse, every gossip, every harsh insult. But there's still things that I think we can work on in our lives. We have to surrender our heart and tongue to Jesus Christ each and every day. Yes, we can be saved today, and we can be a horrible human being tomorrow. It's just facts. But I challenge you each and every day, wake up and say, I'm going to surrender my heart to you, Lord. I want you to show me where my words are wrong. I want you to show me when I do things wrong. I want you to tell me throughout my day. And if we begin to ask him each and every day, he's going to point to you. You will be convicted when you lash out or when you tell a lie or when you gossip or whatever it is that you're doing in your life. So surrender your heart and especially your tongue daily to Christ. We said that the tongue is untamable. We must pray for the Holy Spirit's filling and help. We looked at Galatians chapter 5 last week, but 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. And it goes on in 22 and 23, if we walk in the Spirit, part of the fruit is self-control. We can pray for the fruit of the Spirit. We can pray for those things. I would not go home and pray for all fruits of the Spirit this morning. Which one are you struggling with the most? Which one do you need to work on? Ask the Lord to show you what you can work on. Be slow to speak. And I think this is a very crucial one. It's very easy for us. We want to interrupt before we even listen to what's happening. And if we take time and we're slow to speak, James 1:19, a couple weeks ago we talked about it, but we are exhorted, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And if we will pause and think and pause and pray before we respond, so many fires will be prevented. I challenge you to identify those common pitfalls of speech. What are you saying wrong? What are you doing that's wrong? What are you, I don't know what it is, whether it's lying, whether it's swearing, whether it's gossip, whether it's sarcasm. We all are struggling with the tongue, I promise you that. Identify your common pitfall and work on it. Don't let your tongue just run on autopilot and say, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. That's not the way it works. And lastly, replace the bad with good. To me, we can always try to take things out of our life and feel, say, okay, I'm going to quit swearing. But if we don't replace it with something, it's very hard to get rid of that. And whatever it is that you're struggling with, replace it. Replace it with a scripture. Replace it with some motivation. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. If you struggle with gossip, find something good to say something about somebody. Instead of criticism, find some type of encouragement. We do need to replace it, otherwise it will always come back to you. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, actually, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the day of judgment, the Bema seat. As a believer, we will be at the Bema seat of Christ one day. Again, not for salvation, but for what we do for Christ. It's for rewards, it's for loss, it's for opportunities missed. It's for careless words that we let slip out. When we go to the Bema seat of Christ, it is not for judgment of our salvation. It is not for judgment of our sins. It is for judgment of good and bad. And when it uses that word good and bad, it's a useless term. What are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? With our words, with our speech, with our actions. To control our tongue, we must have a new creature. We must have a new heart. We must yield to Jesus Christ. So I challenge even myself. We need to beware of our tongue. Control your tongue, or it's going to control you. Let's take positive action. I challenge you this week, find one thing in your speech, one thing that you're doing, whether it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, whether it's something you say, whether it's something you're struggling with, replace it with something. Let us pray. Dear my Father, Lord, we just thank you for the book of James. Yes, we know it's written to the 12 tribes. Yes, we know it's written to the Jewish people, but there's so much we can learn from it and use in our lives, especially with the tongue. The tongue can be out of control. The tongue can ruin lives. The tongue can set forest fires ablaze. And I just pray, especially myself, that anything that comes out of my mouth is good and honoring to you, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Thank you.